What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, until 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. We take you into Charlie Palillo at 11 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. Let's go. And here's the deal. Yeah, we got two.
The big news. I've got two number one shows.
Well, that's not the big news. I didn't realize we'd start like that.
I've got the number one show, hey, The Blitz.
Fred Zierlein.
Starring Lance Zierlein, Fred Fowler, and special guest appearances by A.J. Hoffman. And then The Bench with Lance and John, despite Dell.
It's not called Despite Dell. Although that is a pretty good name. John and Lance, despite Dell. Spite.
Or John and Lance and Dell Spites.
Two Spite. I like Two Spite Dell. Del or Spite. D-Spite. Despite Dell, all those
you
things.
Being number one doesn't spite me. It just speaks to the sheep mentality of our listeners.
Well, that do this.
Yes,
in the morning and afternoon.
They do that to the microphone.
No, I understand why The Blitz is number one. That's a good show. why the listeners listen to you still out of nostalgia astounds me. But congratulations to you guys.
It's not out of nostalgia. We have more young listeners than any show.
Is that
In the history of radio, I think.
Dad, do you remember when we used to listen to this together?
Mm-hmm. See?
Yeah, I do, Johnny.
You guys raised some people, or people were having their children and raising them while you guys were on the air. So now you have younger listeners that you've polluted.
And we were big with nannies, too.
I imagine you were.
So the nannies would listen to us and put the
I'm not sure about that.
Headphone right there, and they would listen when they were walking kids.
I'm not sure about any of that.
Is Tom Brady crying right now?
Tom Brady should be crying. He should be crying with happiness that he got me.
I'm sorry, I just saw a video.
That he covered, and he got Gronk the ball enough, and the defense stepped up and won my fantasy league.
Tiny Muffins got me a big win. You knocked down my division foe, too.
Yeah, so I know. Thank you.
It's a big win by you. I checked that last night. Congratulations on your big win, which is also my big win. Big 24 hours for me personally with The Blitz, this show, and then my fantasy team.
For those of you that
benefiting from John beating my division foe. So off to a big start for our listeners so far as they found out. It's been a big run.
Well, you're having a big time. For those who didn't hear, we ended up number one in the ratings this month. So seven people liked us. Okay, whatever. To me, it's just a bunch.
I say seven million.
It's really great
that someone this month decided, I'm gonna listen to John and Lance more than I'm listening to some other show.
Yeah.
Because he happened to have a meter, so we're number one.
Let's just all try to crap all over being number one. Hey, you know what we on the Blitz never do? Throw a wet blanket all over our success.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You never call your listeners D-weeds?
We don't throw blankets over our success, say, this isn't indicative of anything. We don't do that on the Blitz.
Really
I can
not.
Promise you that.
Because when we lose, I don't give a rat's ass. When we win, I don't give a rat's ass. I care about is doing the best show possible.
That's right.
That's it.
You don't really care about that.
And you know what? And then you let the wins pile up, okay?
That's what I'm doing. Okay. Exactly.
Wait a minute. Are we really going to allow this jamoke to take credit for what happens on the afternoon show?
Yes. I'm here almost
apparently
every day.
It is his show.
We talk. We pre-prep.
Conversations.
You
don't even do that.
If you
here.
Talk to him, that's prepping.
You just are bored.
Put ideas
so you walk around
mind.
And talk to them.
That is kind of true. You are bored. Instead of like,
no, I'm about to not be bored starting boys, November 1st is like when it has to start. So I'm waiting for the second tape update. I'm already looking at an App State running back. One of these days I'm going to throw it in there and watch that terrible quarterback that's playing ahead of JT so I can get mad. Be like, who's this guy with this trash hair?
What? Oh, no, he's got cornrows now and a skull cap.
Get out of here.
No, yeah, yeah.
He is trash. He's that reason, really.
He's got cornrows now and a skull
corn
cap.
Cornrows?
Yeah.
I know it's like, where are they? What Missouri? What part
it's
of Missouri?
Not East St. Louis.
It's what is Southwest Missouri. It used to be Southwest Missouri.
No, but what's the city?
Springfield.
I know it's Springfield, so there's not a lot of culture in
Springfield. No, there's not a lot of culture.
But someone on that team's got to be like, nah, bro.
Dude.
You throw four picks in five drives. You can't put cornrows in your hair. You're just going too far.
Get rid of the rows.
Yeah. That
until happens. You can go at least one for one interception to touchdown. It's got to go.
He's not. He ain't doing that.
Then the rows got to go.
We ain't doing that. No, what we're doing, though, is snap it, run right. Snap it, run left. We're very complex, you know, peewee football. Anyway, so here's the deal is congratulations to the Patriots and Tiny Muffins fantasy football team, which you guys named. I named it GFY.
I was trying to think of a terrible name, so I named it Tiny Muffins.
Yeah, because JT was sitting there, and he said, here, this is your name, Tiny Muffins. So that was that. And how about this? This is a big deadline week, okay? So you got your Astros free agents out there now. Your Astros free agents have been named.
John Heyman. Are you ready to break that little thing? That was a surprise that he came out with.
So here's the deal is here are the free agents. Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton, Tony Sipp, Martin Maldonado, Marwin Gonzalez, Evan Gattis. You can make a 17.9 qualifying offer.
Which they are doing.
Which they are going to do.
John Heyman said they are making him an offer. 17.9 qualifying.
John Heyman.
Mm-hmm. Baseball guy from, USA Today now?
They're making
who? Came out last night. Dallas Keuchel.
They're going to make him a 17.9 qualifying offer.
According to that, Marwin's walking and no... Which we kind of knew based on his Instagram post, and then there's no news on Charlie Morton.
Well, Charlie Morton made 7 last year, so 17.9 would be a big bump.
Is that what he would get as a qualifying offer?
Well, yeah. You can to extend a 1-year qualifying offer to any of their eligible free agents.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, and that's probably high for Marwin as well. Dallas Keuchel worth 17.9.
Yes. The question becomes, and qualifying offer just allows you to potentially renegotiate longer, right? Isn't it a mechanism to that you have to be there now? And then if they walk for something else, that allows you to have some compensation.
Yes, correct? Yeah, they're going to get a compensatory draft pick.
Compensatory pick, which you don't have to have in the NFL if a free agent walks. You don't have to have that, but.
I think it depends on where how much money they're going to get, and then also I think how well they do. We'll see. So here's the deal: is Dallas Keuchel one guy? It's because he's probably on the open market. He's a Boris guy, and so is Marwin Gonzalez. Both Boris guys. He's going to get more than I would imagine. He's going to get 20. At least 20 to 25 average per year.
25?
Yeah, but dude, how many teams need a lefty that was a Cy Young winner?
What do you see from Dallas that's a 25? Well,
his second, now he's not a strikeout pitcher.
Bad contracts are given out all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is the truth.
I mean, you Darvish, how's that working out?
He's not a strikeout pitcher, which is not beneficial because when he doesn't hit his spots, he gets railed. He had the worst ERA, first inning ERA in baseball, which was... upwards of close to 7. It was high sixes. I mean, there's nothing that tells you he should be anywhere near $25 million, but, you know.
That's the outlier, however. I mean, he did have a rough year in that, but if you look at, obviously, Dallas Keuchel's, his last 4 years.
Let's look at his
years.
Last 3 years.
Yeah, his last 3 years.
His last 3 years.
Now, again, he struggled. Okay, what is you can get his splits.
35 and 28 the last 3 years.
Okay, but you can get his splits from the last. You got his splits from the last 3 years?
Yeah, what kind of splits are we talking about?
You can you can get his actual splits for 3-year splits.
Yeah, but and what are we looking at though?
Well, let's look at first inning ERA over the last 3 years.
Okay, I will bring that up.
Yeah,
it seems like that was an issue last year too, though.
Was it?
I feel like that was an issue last year as well. Yeah, here I'm about to bring it up right now, but I'll dig into it, see if I can get it by inning here. But yeah, I felt like it was, you know, it's interesting. Baseball Reference, there, it's a little trickier finding there versus batting position and counts here. I'll find it, but just keep going.
Okay. All right. So anyway, here's what the last three were.
All right. Well, it was 3.13 ERA in the first inning. It wasn't. The fourth inning was his highest the year before.
The fourth inning was his highest the year before. So,
in 17.
Listen, and he's streaky too. You know, you'll remember last year he started well and then fell apart. This year he started slowly and then came on. He is streaky, which is not awesome, especially I don't know that he's an ace.
Streaky.
He's an ace on any staff, but man, he can put you over the top. Let's say the Dodgers lose Kershaw. You don't think that they wouldn't mind getting bringing in
not a replacement for Kershaw.
No, well, nobody's a replacement for Kershaw.
Right.
Nobody is.
Right.
But you bring another left-hander into the
fold. His ERA in 2015, his struggle year, 5.88 first inning.
Yeah.
It was the worst of his innings. Well, fifth inning was the worst at 8.53. So he's got second time around. He's got some issues, and it can be, or especially third time around. And then his first inning is one of his. It's just for 3 straight years. It's been his one of his worst innings. I mean, I don't see Dallas Keuchel as a $20+ million pitcher for the Houston Astros. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I like Dallas, and I know somebody's willing to overpay, and I know what he looks like when he's going really good, but he hasn't been going. Well, that's not true. He was actually going really good the first half of 2017. Really, really,
really good. Yeah.
Like, unbelievably good. And then he
fell off.
Was not that the second half of the, after his injury, he was not that second half of the season. And then this year, we know that he was, you know, up and down again. So, I don't know. It's been a good run. I don't think Dallas Keuchel will be a, I think their Astros are giving him an out for one. If he wants to take a little less and stay, they're protecting themselves from a compensatory pick. Standpoint. Charlie Morton, though, I make that offer to Charlie Morton and hope that he locks in on that money. Now, realistically, I think Charlie Morton can go get 15 for multiple years, is my guess.
Really?
Well, when I say multiple, I'm talking
two. And he doesn't want to go anywhere else. He was talking about retiring. He said, I'd like to stay in Houston.
How about 2 at 10, Charlie?
How about he?
2 at 10?
2 at 10 would be reasonable. Because he's 34 now.
He is 34. That's right. Yeah. Let's break it right now. Coming up is Jimbo Fisher. We'll get back to some of the Astros free agency stuff. And then there was a brand new record set in the NBA. We'll tell you what that is. But coming up next, the head coach of your Texas A&M, or maybe not your Texas A&M, Fighting Aggies.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Here on ESPN 97.5, John and Lance, along with Dell, being joined right now by the head coach of the Fighting Aggies from Texas A&M on your home for Texas A&M football and basketball, ESPN 97.5. Coach Jimbo Fisher here with us. Coach, how are you?
Fine. How you doing?
Doing great. Man, it's tough when it's tough to get that ground game going, isn't it?
It is. I mean, they were physical, and we had a couple runs, especially on some horn plays, some outside runs that we missed a backside cut again. I said that before. That's an issue, and that we're going to come out pretty good. And we had to miss a run or two, missed a cut or two, and then we got behind and had success and couldn't keep continuity on offense because of drop balls. We had 9 drop balls.
Which is a little bit unusual for your team. That you have not been a team that's had a ton of drops as a big issue. No. That was highly unusual, I thought.
It was. And you know, sometimes it's by one guy or so, but this was, you know, it was contagiously across the board. And even, you know, even Jace, even, you know, Warren, core guys had been playing really well. And the, you know, balls that they normally catch and make plays on, we just didn't put away. And it's hard to get continuity, especially when it's third down conversion. And, you know, and then you can't get in the flow of the game because you run pass, you break it up. And then, the interesting thing on that is you only had 1 3 and out in the whole game.
Yeah, I thought
after all that, they had 1 3. Moving the football was not an issue. It was just finishing drives again.
Yeah, I thought Jace had a, you mentioned the drops. It didn't look like Sternberger had his best game.
No, I mean, he was, you know, just didn't play as well as he normally does. I mean, his effort and everything was there, just, you know, didn't finish in situations. But, you know, hey, we got to keep coaching. And it's not a thing on player. You know, we're all in it together, and we got to make sure make them comfortable and how we can, you know, give them the ball and what situation they're in.
And Nick Fitzgerald is a pretty dangerous. That run, you know, that was a dagger, obviously, when he ran for 76 yards. But you guys knew he could run. It's just that when you watch him in person, it doesn't look like
it's
it.
It's the same as Matt Jones from Arkansas when he played at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Similar like that.
Yep.
But you got to think, he had 12 yards rushing till that run.
Right.
Yeah. He hadn't had anything up to that
point. What happened was they were in a quarterback run, and he had a guy on the back, and another player who should have been playing on the backside had been the extra sitter on the other side. Both took the back, and we had one, you know, we had a missed assignment, which cost us a gap, and he was able to spit out. But he, you know, he played well in the game. And the big thing there is to give up 3 third down conversions, a 3rd and 11 for a touchdown, a 3rd and 12 for a touchdown, and a 3rd and 21. We're backed up. We had momentum and scored 14-13. Give up a 3rd and 21 for about a 70-yard throw down the 2-yard line.
Yeah, it was the chunk plays that got you, and that's, you know, that's a big part when you're in the middle of a hard-fought game. And you could see early on that this was going to be a lower-scoring game. I mean, it had all the earmarkings. You had a lot of intensity.
Yeah. We had the top great defense. They had the number 3 defense in the country and the number 2 scoring offense. And, you know, points were going to be at a minimum. And that's why so disappointing. In the first drive down there, we have to kick a field goal that, you know, we missed a block on a protection that we, you know, they did two or three things on the goal line, which we knew, and we just blew a protection, which we had a guy coming wide open and, you know, blew a protection. I mean, it's just you have to play well and you have to play better. And, you know, when you get a chance to put points on the board, you have to do it. And when you have a chance to get them off the field, and that's what we had been, our defense had usually been so good on third down, but we give up the 3 third and longs. It was very, very critical in the game.
And Coach, how quickly do you take your lessons from, and I mean the teaching stuff that you're going to take to your team, how quickly do you get that taken care of with your team to teach from what you've seen off the film, share the film with them versus when you have to slide over to the next game? Like, how does that break down?
I had 24 hours. I mean, after the game, we have comments. I know the things we had to do. And then we don't watch the film until Monday. But, you know, you're getting it out of your system and what we do, and we get the film evaluated, and then we're moved on. And Monday, we have a good workout on Monday. It's not just a deal. We put a lot of special team stuff in and all that. And so we get out and got a good sweat, got that going. And then we'll go back into practice today. We had a good one yesterday. With the preliminaries of the basis of what Auburn does, and then we'll go, and then we're going to face another one this week. I mean, Auburn's front, their front is very, very dynamic, and on the defensive side, the secondary guys can run. Safeties are very, you know, athletically one of the best sectors. They've made as good a defense that we've played overall when you put numbers of, you know, how big and fast and those guys are and what we're trying to do. And then offensively, you know, they haven't ran it as well as they have been, but they're an eye violation team, a lot of formations, a lot of hurry up, and we're going to play really well.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Texas A&M football. What are you seeing? Jarrett Stidham is, for him, it's kind of a disappointing season. 60% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Not nearly the numbers that we thought he would put up. What are you seeing out of Stidham this year?
Well, I mean, you got to look. You know, cumulative, like you say, for a quarterback, you got to look at, as their drops, are they running the football? Are they creating the opportunities in the passing game for them to do? I mean, you know, it's not just him. I mean, he can throw the football. He's a very dynamic guy. He's got lots of talent. I haven't studied exclusively like I would if I was game planning, but I've watched their side of film, watched them through the year, and then, of course, I've scanned them already to you know, things that we're doing on the defensive side of football. I've already watched some of their offensive film in the head coach, but I mean, he's a guy that has all the talent in the world, can throw it, big, strong guy, and you know, they haven't had as much success offensively as they want to, but they, you know, they played a lot better last week against Ole Miss, or 2 weeks ago against Ole Miss.
Yeah, and one of the scary things is they really haven't got uncorked offensively, and you know it's there. They've got guys who are pretty talented wide receivers as well, so that's one of those things you have to guard against, keep their confidence level from taking off early. You talked about that defensive front, and man, that is where you guys have faced some fronts now. Mississippi State is no joke, and we already know about Clemson and Alabama. You're going to LSU. You're going to have, you know, obviously this one against Auburn. I mean, man, this is, you're going to have, you might have the toughest schedule against, and I didn't even mention Kentucky. You're going to have one of the toughest battles probably of any team in college football based on your schedule. I'm talking about versus defensive fronts of any team in college football this year, your schedule, I would imagine.
You're no doubt. I mean, the physicality, and that's what this league produces. I mean, and they have no, and I can say they're all on our schedule this year. Sometimes they get spread out with two or three you don't see on the other side sometimes. Right. But right here this year, I mean, it is that way every week. And that's why, you know, finding ways to keep running the football, finding ways to, you know, protect, which we did pretty well in that game for the most part. And, you know, just things that, you know, you have to way to move the football. And then when it comes to deep in the front, dictates how many guys you can get out, what you can do, where your chippers are, and all that kind of stuff in the passing game and the running game. But there is no doubt every week. I mean, it's who we play and how those guys line up that are really, really talented guys.
Derek
Brown.
A lot of guys
will make money on Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Derek Brown's going to be one of those guys this week, number five that everyone talks about. That's 6'5", 325. That's a big boy, and he is a big boy that can move a little bit too.
It is. He's inside. Russell's inside. Marlon Davidson out on the outside. You know, big cats out there. Nick Poe, who's probably maybe the best pure pass rusher of all those guys. I mean, you know, it is. They're all those guys will play in the NFL. I mean, and two or three of them will be really, really high picks.
You know, everybody talked about you playing Clemson and Alabama in two of the first 4 weeks, but this may be, after all of these games and everything else, three straight road games, Coach. When you looked at this before the season on the schedule, you had to say, well, this ain't going to be easy.
No, we know it's going to be a pivotal point. We had to come out of that first break and be ready to go. And that's the thing, because, you know, even though Mississippi State were there, we had opportunities to put that game and knew it was going to be a hard fight. All these are going to be one possession games. It's just like the NFL. All these games are one possession games, and you got to come with an edge, a chip, and, you know, the fight, scratch, and claw, which our kids played really hard. We just didn't play well enough in those key situations. And we got to understand it. And especially when possessions are at a minimum, points are at a minimum, and, you know, you got to play that way.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97. How's Kellen holding up?
Oh, good. Playing well. I mean, you know, again, he had some toes he'd love to have back. There's a couple of decisions and just a couple of things, but at the same time, you have nine drops and you know, it would have been about 66-68%. And then plus, what you don't realize is the rhythm it gets you. Now, we missed the open toe throw. That's the one we wish to have back, too. He overthrew that one by about a yard, and on a guy we got slipped back there for a big six, which I think was a big play in the game also that we didn't connect on. But, you know, when you have drop balls and things like that, that's, people don't realize the rhythm it gets your offense in, the confidence it gets you, and your kids are getting the flow. Because not only in the passing game, because once you start to hit those in the running game, you know, people say you run to open up the pass, but sometimes you can pass to open up the run. Mm-hmm. It creates two different things when you're creating the big plays that way. And so that's, you know, in the game. So, I mean, played a solid game. And of course, not his best game, but not his worst game. I mean, we had opportunities as a team. That was a very collective league. So we kind of went across the board and how we didn't play as well as we needed to.
You've been in the SEC before, and you know those night games, they're awfully, awfully difficult. And you like this 11 o'clock start?
No, I don't like the 11 o'clock. I think that's a little bit early. And plus, you got to remember, that's an early day. But it's something we have. You know, we've already played one this year. And up in Dallas, but the thing here is you got to stay so far away. You know, you're an hour away from Auburn to get there. So I mean, that will be an early morning. But you know, hey, you, if you come out there and play well, they're good to have, at least have that free time in the afternoon, in the evening, to at least catch your breath, because you don't get to do that much during the season. But you know, that'd be a great challenge too. That's another thing. But hey, that's part of it, and we've already dealt with that when we played Arkansas up in Dallas.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck moving forward. Of course, it's going to be a big game against Auburn. You need this one. Yep. Of course, nothing's easy in the West. Nothing's easy in the East either.
Mark Robinson can't find you a hotel closer than an hour away? What's he doing?
There ain't no place to play. There ain't nowhere to stay. It always has been at Auburn. That's what makes the SEC so tough on the road, too, the travel venues. I mean, it's hard. Some of those towns you can't stay in.
And let me tell you.
There's no hotels or venues to be able to do that, so it makes it difficult for sometimes how you have to stay. But that's all. Hey, that's what makes this league so special and why you love it so much.
Let me tell you, I went to Florida. I went and scouted Deshaun in Florida State when Clemson went to your place at Florida State. And then, like, there's a bunch of hotels around Tallahassee either. I was on the outskirts, like, man.
Tallahassee for the road team at one time was for the home team. We stayed almost an hour away.
Yeah. I was not super close.
I got that change when I was there to get a little closer, and we found a different venue. It's a very tough place. You're exactly right.
The home team stayed an hour away, too. That's it. But that'll tell you about that. Well, Coach, man, we appreciate it. Best of luck. Go get them. Go get those Tigers.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
There is Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 every Tuesday morning.
They're going to have to wake up early and start brushing their teeth early. I could see them forgetting when to move. Like, now what?
Well, no. If you equip the entire team with Quip toothbrushes,
right?
Then they're going to get up. And now, listen, if you're an hour away, it's going to be difficult because you have to take 2 minutes to brush your teeth with the Quip toothbrush.
Right.
A lot of times, I'm sure you brushed – I'm not sure if you brushed your teeth this morning, but a lot of times –
I don't know if I went 2 minutes off, I'm being honest.
That's what I'm saying.
Lance, when you brush your teeth and you hear about John talking about Quip, does this enter your mind?
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong. That has nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it does. That's what you said yesterday.
That doesn't enter my mind, Al.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong. No, listen, and that's a fact. And you're probably doing it too, Del. Okay?
No.
Yes, you probably are. Because you're not taking the full 2 minutes using a quadrant with a sensor on your toothbrush to tell you when it's time to change quadrants. See, quadrants are four. There are four separate quadrants in your mouth. That's why they call them quadrants. And then you and there's a pulsating action on the Quip toothbrush that tells you time to change. It is the best toothbrush maybe in the history of mankind. And now I know how to brush my teeth thanks to the Quip toothbrush. GetQuip.com/ESPN975. They're going to give you your first 3-month refill absolutely free. They send you the toothpaste. They send you a travel toothpaste. They do it all. GetQuip.com/ESPN975. GetQuip.com/ESPN975. I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. A lot of questions about Marwin. The Astros can re-sign Marwin Gonzalez. He's not going to make $17.9 million, though. That's why you don't offer him the qualifying offer. He would probably take 1 year $17.9 and then go from there. He ain't getting $17.9 per year on the open market, so you're not going to offer him that. Dallas is probably going to get more than that. So you offer him the $17.9, and if he leaves, you get a compensatory pick. Bing, bing, bing. But none of the other guys are going to get that. Charlie Morton's not getting $17.9.
No.
So you don't want to pay him that. You can get Charlie back here probably for 10. And Charlie, I think, wants to come back here. At least that's what he said. He's got a couple of years left maybe. Yeah, 10 is not – that's not penal in Major League Baseball. Even if Charlie doesn't work out for the last couple of years, which I don't know. I once you hit 34, 35, 36, I guess you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And when is Charlie going to start to fall off?
Most people
But he's pitched his best here.
Yeah, he has. He has.
I mean, that's not even arguable. He's pitched his best here.
But if he, but the Astros have some tough choices to make here. They're just not going to be able to pay everyone. You have a bunch of guys who are going to be making more this year, based on arbitration numbers. It's just, it is what it is. They're already making what, $120 million this year was their team salary. I think it was $120 million. That's going to go up, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And here's what Marwin posted on Instagram. He said, now this was...
he said goodbye, basically.
6 days ago. Yeah. He said, it's been the honor of my life to put this uniform on every day for the last 7 seasons. When I joined this team, we were the worst team in baseball, but I was just grateful to have a job. I went from playing for the worst team in baseball to raising the trophy with the best team in baseball. Houston is my heart forever, regardless of where life may take me. Thank you for being so good to me. Forever grateful. Forever. Hashtag Houston strong. That doesn't sound like a guy who's waiting for the process to play out. That sounds like a guy who's been told by management, we're going to look in a different direction. Yeah. Or we're just...
No. I don't think that. I think that he could possibly come back. He's just not going to make 17.9. What do you give Marwin? What are you going to give Marwin?
I don't know this offseason. I can tell you this much. If you make a run at Dallas Keuchel, then other guys are going to have to go. I think Maldonado.
Right now their payroll is what they've got allotted for next year at this moment is 98.4.
Without any of the free agents.
But you know who are you bringing back out of those guys?
And without arbitration numbers being included.
Right. Well.
Right.
Right.
You can't. I mean, you haven't gone through it.
No, you haven't. You have not gone through it. Here's the deal. And you got John Singleton for $500. You have to pay him another $500,000.
Why are you bringing up John Singleton?
Because it is a retained salary that you have that's on your books for next year, and so worth it.
One of the great decisions of all time was John Singleton.
John Singleton
saying yes. Springer said no with the quickness. John Singleton's like, I will take your offer, sir.
Well, that also includes Brian McCann's $15 million adjusted salary that will not be on the books.
Oh, that
they're
includes
not,
McCann.
They're going to shoot that down. Yeah, they will not pick that offer up.
No.
So they've
already,
got
apparently his house is already on the market, and they're leaving. They know they're done.
So they've got Verlander for $20 million for sure. Reddick for $13 million for sure. Springer for $12 million. Yuli for $10.4 million. Altuve $9.5 million. Joe Smith, $8 million. Will Harris is also $8 million. I think that might be a team deal. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's a team option. I don't know. You don't pick up that option either. Not for $5 million. I don't know, though. They like Will Harris. You never know. For $5 million? I don't know. Hey, they gave Tony Sipp and they gave Gregerson and Nishak. They gave them $6 million a year. They gave them $18 million each. Hector Rondon is on the books for $4.5 million. Garrett Cole, arbitration. Carlos Correa, arbitration. That's going to be interesting. Devenski, arbitration.
Garrett Cole was 6 point. His base was $6.75 million last year. He's making a lot more this year in arbitration.
A lot more.
A lot more.
He's going to be up over $10 million. Yes, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. He is your number two guy. He will make a lot more in arbitration this year. Mariznick is arbitration. Lance McCullers is arbitration. Colin McHugh is arbitration. Osuna is arbitration. Peacock arbitration. And then the rest of the guys are pre-arbitration. So they're team control guys. Bregman's still a team control guy, and you're going to have to pay him at some point. So, and so is J.D. Davis, your favorite. But you got there's money out there. But you know what? You were 17,000 short of 3 million people this year.
Oh no, you got money to spend.
Your clothes sales are through the roof. You're doing unbelievable things right now.
I don't know that they're going to want to stay, but here's the thing though, and I think we should be happy about this. I don't think they're going to want to stay status quo. They didn't with Garrett Cole coming in. Last year, and I think they could look.
What's funny about that is I thought for sure that Garrett Cole was going to be the, and he still may be. The reason they picked up Garrett Cole because they knew that Keuchel was going to be gone. And so now you got a true number two, and you don't have to worry about that. Well, it's still a real possibility because Keuchel's not taking the 17.9. You're going to get your compensatory pick. Keuchel's taking a long-term deal. All you did was pick up a – that's all the Keuchel thing did. Because Keuchel will get, especially with Boris, Now, last year, though, there were some big-name pitchers out there that did not get deals that they thought they were going to get. Mm-hmm. And Dallas Keuchel may be one of those guys. Boris may shoot for the moon and not get it.
I think it's, you know, I think smart teams financially, look, there's always teams who are willing to way overpay for pitching, and those teams a lot of times suffer because of it. But I think the smart teams, the teams that are really driven by analytics, the teams that are really driven by value and the study of value versus age and things like that and performance, they're going to look at the last 3 years of Dallas Keuchel as being very up and down. And I think an analytics-driven team like the Houston would look for a Dallas Keuchel on the cheap. They wouldn't look for a Dallas Keuchel at premium price. Now, there may be somebody who gives them that, but more and more teams are operating under the same guidelines of value and studying certain performance indicators. And I would say the three-year performance indicator would indicate that you do not give Dallas Keuchel a premium contract worth more than $2. Now, I mean, two years. He's going to get at least a three-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just saying that's what it would, like Daryl Morey would put a value, and probably Jeff Leno would say this is his value. And if it crosses that, our value on him is 2 years at $15 million.
Well, look how long it took Jake Arrieta to sign last year.
Yeah,
I mean he couldn't get the money he wanted. Well,
he ended up getting
$25 million. That's pretty good money. But
and how did he get it that late? I don't know how that happened because everyone thought he's just not going to get the money he wanted, and he ended up getting. But it was just 2 years, right?
And some of it, a lot of his deal. No, it's 3 years. And a lot of his deal is after that. He's 5 years, actually, but the last 2 years are escalator-based years. So if he hits a number of starts and all that stuff. 713-780-377. I think it's going to take a little while for Dallas Keuchel to sign out there because of all of those things. All of those things that you said. We'll see, though.
Any free agent catchers that you would look at? I know, I mean, Real Muto has been mentioned, but I'm looking at free agents.
I wouldn't put it past them to get that deal done with Real Muto. Although Jeff Luno is so tight when it comes to giving up guys, and rightfully so. He's given up some really good players. And here's another thing. You're right. Teams are going to look at the Astros and start doing things like the Astros because every team is picking all the Astros employees.
Yeah, Bonifay is gone to take over the farm system for the Philadelphia Phillies.
And run it. Yeah. He got total control of their farm system. Yeah. I mean, it's guy after guy after guy that the Astros have here that they're just going, they're plucking them out of the organization because the Astros do it so well and see what they learn from Jeff Luno.
Would you go after Grandal from the Dodgers? I mean, that's going to be a much more expensive catcher. Would you do that?
Except the whole thing about catching.
Yeah, that's...
It's another one that really has a hard time catching.
The catching part, and it had been a strength of Maldonado's until the postseason. Let's break it right here. When we come back, we've got Spencer Hall. He's usually of every day should be Saturday, and we will talk some college football with him. He's got a really interesting show coming up that we want to talk. We want to let you guys know about coming up here in just a second. I think you're going to want to listen in. Spencer's one of the great storytellers and wrote one of the best articles about the city of Houston that I've seen. He did that a couple years ago for SB Nation. So we will visit with him here in just a second. I want to tell you about Bill Advisor, another company out there who just does things the right way. They say, look, it costs what it costs to have satellite cable and electric bill and, you know, your internet, your home phone, your cell phone. But when you say it costs what it costs, well, that's kind of tricky because some people pay more than others for the exact same service. So what's the big difference? What's the determining factor? In most cases, it's nothing more than you being, than you just being a loyal customer, and you end up paying more. At Bill Advisor, they say, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop all that. We're going to make sure that if you are a loyal customer and you've been with a company, we're going to renegotiate your rates, or we'll find you somebody else with some other place to move. Now, if you want to move, they can find you incredible entry-level deals to go to a different satellite company or a different cable company or cell phone provider, but they can also use that as leverage to knock your bills down right now. Customer retention is big, and they can get to customer retention, not just customer service. Now, if you are looking to lower your bills and save potentially thousands, there is no reason not to text GO to 232323. That's GO, G-O, to 232323. They'll get started on your bills for you today, and it costs just $12.99 a month. The average savings is over $900. I saved $2,000 my first year. Please text GO to 232323 or go to billadvisor.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, 7:47 here on The Bench. John and Lance right here with you. Joining us right now is an old friend, one of my favorite college football voices. And wrote one of my favorite articles about the city of Houston of all time. It is my favorite article. He wrote it for SB Nation, and that would be Spencer Hall. Spencer, welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
So let's get right to it. And I do want to mention, for those of you who never had a chance to read it, just Google Spencer Hall, and I don't know, what else? Houston, what was the name of the article so they can go back and read it? Because I still think if you didn't read it, you need to go back and read it.
It's, I believe it's Houston, the city too big for a belt.
Yep, and Spencer came down and did a great job of really digging into the culture, and you're a big fan of the city of Houston now, aren't you?
Enormous, yeah. It's basically kind of if Atlanta happened in Texas, but was extremely Texan, way bigger. And, yeah, it's like America's like, I really don't understand how people don't really love Houston as the city, because it's super accessible. It's got something for everyone. And in addition to that, it has my favorite thing about a city, which is that it's disorganized. So like, what is there not to like at this point? It's got great food. It's sports mad, and it's hot. That's pretty much like, that's a bellwether, like a lot of different bellwethers for places I love.
Strip clubs next to churches. Well, I mean, that's the zoning.
No zoning.
That's the zoning that's thing why, going that's on why. Here.
We're so complicated
that's
in
the,
that way.
That's the organization. Well, let's talk for a second about, so you guys search that up and go read that article. It's good stuff. Let's talk for a second about your latest venture. You guys came up with a concept that I think is really great, and I because podcasts now, it's, you know, podcasts are the really big thing, but the biggest podcasts are the one that focus on a theme and then build out shows around that theme and different variances or instances of that particular theme, and that's what you guys have done.
Yeah, we've tried to do that with It Seems Smart. That's our new podcast from SB Nation. It's generally about very bad ideas in sports that are about trying to gain an advantage, trying to press the envelope of the rules, and or outright ignoring them. And none of these ideas are terribly bright, but they're all stupid in different ways. That's my favorite part about doing this show, is that part one that we did was about Albert Bell and the Great Bat Caper. Back in the 1990s, if you don't know, Albert Bell was using a cork bat. That was confiscated by umpires, and a teammate, Jason Grimsley, Texas's own, I should point out, went into the ceiling and crawled in and went and stole the bat. It wasn't a very smart idea, but I really love it because there was a lot of audacity, a lot of daring, and a complete lack of attention to detail, because the bat that they replaced it with said Paul Sorrento on it. It did not say Albert Bell.
That lets you know that all of Albert's bats were cooked.
Note that, like, when I tell these stories, I'm always sympathetic, because I would do that, right? You would go, oh, man, I'm going to go through the whole ceiling, and I'll do something really outlandish and stupid. And when I get to the end, I'll have completely ignored a very important detail, and I'll do it anyway. So I get that. Episode 2 dropped today. That is about the guy who set the record, current record, for the Cannonball Run. That would be the coast-to-coast, unofficial, unsanctioned, unlicensed, and very illegal race from New York to L.A. And his name's Ed Bolian. He lives here in Atlanta. And He drives a Lamborghini. That's his daily driver. That's pretty much the starting point for what you need to know about Ed Foleyan.
That Lamborghini. The Albert Bell, you know, baseball is one of those things. One of the things I really found during the postseason, once again, baseball will always surprise you, and I guess it shouldn't surprise you. The cheating in baseball from Gaylord Perry showing you how to throw a spitball, you know, how he used to do that, to all of the issues that you know, Roger Craig said Mike Scott was doing with scuffing the baseballs here at the Astros, the entire steroid era. And then in the postseason here, we had the pine tar stuff that we, you know, really focused on here with the Houston Astros, where the Indians were clearly caught using pine tar on their wrists or using some foreign substance to make it stickier, their hands to improve spin rate. And then the Astros saw it, and A.J. Hinch was like, yeah, I don't care. That's fine. Oh, we don't want to even talk about that stuff. And it's because there's videos of the Astros doing it too.
Yeah.
Baseball and cheating. I would think that you have a lot of things that you could do with baseball, Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, baseball, it's very easy to cheat, but it's very hard to cheat effectively. That's the part that I find really funny, because I think everyone is offended and very outraged when your team is playing against somebody who is cheating. What people don't consider is how hard it is to cheat in sports. It's very, very difficult to cheat effectively, because cheating is an art and getting an advantage is an art. And that's true in baseball. For instance, Gaylord Perry, Gaylord Perry cheated like crazy. You know what else Gaylord Perry did? He gave up a lot of home runs, and he got knocked around the park a lot. So most of the time when people are cheating, it's very ineffective, right? It's like anything else. 90% of the people who do it are really bad at it, and 10% are indifferent, and 10% of the people who do it are so good you might not even know they're doing it. Football's worse, because it turns out it's really difficult to cheat in football. Very difficult. It's difficult to point shave. It's difficult to do, I think generally this, it's difficult to do anything on purpose in football. Do you want to know why coaches are insane? Because you can draw up a great plan. You can devote 80 hours of time to that plan during the week. You can make it the sole focus of your entire life. And when the ball is snapped, everything goes wrong. Because there are 11 very fallible human people executing the plan. Somebody is going to get something wrong on every single play. So when you cheat, it's worse, because you have to, one, you're 1/11th of the formula, and two, you might not even do it right, because it's very, very hard. It's been a fascinating process looking at how to do all this.
Well, one of your stories maybe in the near future can be Christopher Correa, the Cardinals employee that hacked into the Astros system and ended up doing 4 years in prison for it.
That actually is a great idea, come to think of it. It seems smart.
Yeah, it seemed like a great idea at the time, I'm sure.
We're doing an episode of WikiLeaks, right? Which, if you're not familiar, that's when a former coach and broadcaster at Wake Forest leaked information about Wake Forest football to opponents. And it's amazing how bad everyone is at information security. I believe Chris Correa, when he hacked, right? Hacking is a real strong word for what he did, because I think the password was something like ABC123.
Right, right.
Or 11111. Right. He had basically a 7-year-old password, right? Like, if you ask the 7-year-old, hey, what's a great password? They're like, keep the 123, right? Like, the Astros probably had something like baseball. Password baseball. Type in Astros. That's the password. WikiLeaks, the guy who leaked it, to show you how ineffective and bad people are even at cheating. Wake Forest, in the games that they had, the other team had plays and had information about them, to the point where Louisville was calling out plays to Wake Forest during the game, which, again, y'all, don't tip your hands. Be better at cheating. Don't let the other people
know you're cheating.
Tell them you're cheating, right?
Right.
Especially when it's things that were just made for you, right, and not for other teams. When they were doing that, Wake Forest was 3-1 in those games.
So not great.
And now, I wonder whatever happened to that.
The broadcaster,
that was their announcer.
He was all pissy at the team for whatever reason.
And a former player.
What was the reason? I know we can. Well, I don't know if we want to even just give it up because you're doing that on a podcast. But I can't remember why. Wasn't he a former player and broadcaster?
He was. He was a former player. He was a graduate. He had a master's degree, I believe, in business administration from Wake Forest. He was a former coach under Jim Crow.
That's what it was. Coach.
That was what it was.
And the motive for leaking plays was in part because he had not been retained. Now, he had been given a job. Consider this. The dude was given a gimme job. He was given a, hey, he's one of our guys. Why don't you put him on radio and we'll have him fundraise? That was his gig. And he still felt the need to leak plays to coaches, right, in some sort of act of really obviously ineffective vengeance because, you know, Tommy Elrod leaking plays led to a 750 winning percentage in four games. So the overall point is cheating and breaking the rules, it's hard. And even if you try to plan for it, sometimes you just have to get lucky. The guy today, if you listen to the podcast, it's about Cannonball Run. And Ed Bolian puts a lot of planning into the Cannonball Run. But ultimately, the thing that decides whether he breaks the record or not is luck. That's it. You just have to get very lucky sometimes in order to hit the sweet spot.
I do want to mention the next one coming up, which I think is going to be extremely interesting to a lot of you guys, is FanDuel versus DraftKings. And that year that we were inundated with incredible amount of advertising, Spencer and his crew end up covering that as well, which I think is going to be really interesting.
Spencer Hall with us every day. Should be Saturday. Are you still at EDSBS? Are you still on Twitter?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, you are. So follow him on Twitter. Great follow. I'm following you. Great follow. So this is bad ideas in sports. Would like starting Nathan Peterman be considered for this or no?
That's not cheating.
Although ultimately I think that's a great idea because when you look back, you go, hey, what am I supposed to do as a coach? Nathan Peterman's my starter.
Right. How the hell am I supposed to do anything around here?
It seems smart.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea.
It seemed like a good idea. It seemed smart. You use that as the indicator. Are you excited about the big reveal for the college football top 25 officially going on today?
No. I have a very jaded opinion of polls, period, especially because I can do this. I can say college football is really a 4 or 5 team horse race. Every single year, if you're interested in the idea of a national championship. Now, if you're an enlightened fan, and if you're listening to this, you are, right? You wouldn't be here if you weren't smart.
Right.
The best sell in the world is to walk into a room and go, you look like smart people. No one in that room is going to say no. No one.
Exactly.
Right? You know, you all look handsome. That's right. We're all handsome.
Well, let's see what he's got to say.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
With Houston, right? Like, for instance, if you're a Houston Cougars fan, or if you're a fan of pretty much any team in the state of Texas right now, your story has very little to do with polls. Very little, right?
You're living
something else entirely different than your ranking. So I try to focus on, okay, there are all of these interesting stories that we can talk about, right? And one horse race that involves at most 5 teams, probably realistically at this point, 1. Right, Alabama has to screw up in order to not win the national title at this point because they're one of the best teams I've ever seen right now. Given that, right, then how do you look at everything after 4 or 5 in the polls? How do you look at the playoff rankings? I really can't be too concerned about that, right? I have to focus on the things I think are interesting because everything right now is so defined in college football, right? We have one story, and you can decide to roll with that, or you can go, okay, there's all of these other cool things happening. For instance, I don't know, the Houston Cougars somehow putting up, 5,000 points a game again, as is their birthright as a program.
Every year you got to write the same article. You could come down and write the same article you wrote like two or three years ago. It's just a different head coach now.
Yeah, it's just it's a different head coach and it's slightly different circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. You try to find a way to not write the same thing over and over again. And you try to find something new, exciting, and different. And that's the problem with polling. Polling is a great thing to push people into conversation. For me, it's not a great way to sort of live.
At Spencer Hall, every day should be Saturday. And tell people how to find your new podcast.
They can go to iTunes or wherever they get podcasts and look for It Seems Smart.
on the Vox Media Podcast Network. It's by SB Nation. Features me. This episode today also features longtime running party Holly Anderson. So if you get tired of listening to me, well, she's on there too.
There you go. Spencer, thanks for joining us today. Good. I know it's going to be a great podcast. Looking forward to getting into it today. Get the first two episodes today and start binge listening. Of course, I can only binge listen to two of them since you guys drop them once a week. But looking forward to future endeavors as well. Thanks, Spencer.
Hey, my pleasure. And hey, if you want to do it Houston style, just listen to it at half speed. Right.
Yeah, we'll do the chopped and screwed version. But I like
I
to get
it
through
it.
Better,
yeah.
Yeah, I like to get through it though. But I do like the deeper voice for you when you have that. That's a good one. Thanks, Spence.
Thanks.
8:02 right here on the bench. It's time for us to tell you about
GiveMeTheVin.com. That's yeah, GiveMeTheVin.com.
John Clay is a maniac.
Well, he is a maniac, and speaking of someone who has a lot of bad ideas.
It seemed like a good idea.
It seemed like a good idea.
John Clay Wolf's life.
Well, what is a good idea, though, is GiveMeTheVin.com. It really is. So if you're looking to sell your car, GiveMeTheVin.com. You go there, and you're going to find the best price that you're going to get for your car, and you're armed with that when you go to the dealership. You're armed with that when you go to CarMax. You're armed with that. And you know, or when you're going to sell it to your buddy, go, look, this is what I can get for it right here on paper, done. And John Clay Wolf says, well, if I can't, okay, then come back at me. Okay, after CarMax, if CarMax counters and John Clay Wolf says, well, come back at me. Oh, I can't beat that. I'll give you $100 because that's what he does. If he can't beat CarMax, he's going to give you $100. Now, he beats CarMax all the time. Dude buys 2,000 cars a month. He's like, whatever, I'll give you this. Whatever, I'm paid too much. Okay, I'll do that. That's what you want. You want a guy who doesn't care. And ask John Clay Wolf. It seems like he just doesn't care. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.